Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between, and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and San Francisco's blazing beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to Party Foul Radio. I'm Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Teeth.
This is the 4th of July, or post-4th of July, episode of Party Foul Radio, episode 73. So I hope that all of you out there had a happy, successful, and safe 4th of July weekend.
Ain't that the truth?
Because, girl, it's Independence Day, bitch. I hope you didn't do anything stupid that got you the loss of your independence, girl.
Yeah.
So
word.
I mean, you know, there's nothing worse, bitch, than getting locked up over a long weekend, ho, when the courts are closed, bitch. It's a drama. Anyway,
girl, I want to know, since did you ever watch that last episode? I knew you weren't.
I have not watched the last episode
Such
of RuPaul's Drag Race,
bitch, girl.
Well, you know, I think it's big. It's one of those things, like, I already know the results,
right,
bitch. It's like, you know, I already knew the results, and it has been a hectic weekend already. The whole week has been hectic, and right now, as we speak, bitch, my cable, like, there's a wiring issue in my home that turns off my cable and my internet. Because it's attached to this port, like, the wiring to one part of the wall is, like, turns itself off. That irritates the fuck out of me. It also irritates me because it turns off my refrigerator, bitch.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Thank God there ain't nothing in there growing except the mold. Hello?
You are so stupid.
Bitch, she needs to go look and she'd find out it's about the truth. Oh, I hope it kills the mold.
You're gonna die eating food out of there, girl.
There's no food in there, bitch. There's nothing. I wonder if there is food in there because I'm kind of peckish. But anyway, yeah, nothing in there, girl, worth mentioning, except for the fact that it does fuck with my ability to have ice cubes up in this place. Damn. Come on now.
What?
So what?
Anyway.
Whatever, girl. We all got priorities. So, yeah, it's been a busy weekend. This past Sunday at the Glamazon was, we are in the countdown, you guys, till the final show at the cafe for me. It'll be July 30th. On July 16th, we're having our last new talent showcase, which is new talent showcase number 18.
Oh, that's what, next weekend?
A week from this weekend.
Yeah.
So it's a week from Sunday, July 16th. So we're getting girls lined up for that. It's going to be a fun time. Those are always some of my favorite shows. But last Sunday at the cafe was amazing. A huge crowd of people there. Because the bar generously allowed me to have my show on a weekend where they thought they could actually make some money, and they allowed me to make a little bit of money.
Right.
Thanks. Way to go, you guys. Glad that 7 years with you has finally, like, educated you on, like, a decent business practice.
Off, yeah.
Anyway, it was wonderful. It was so good to see so many people there. Royal Tees, thank you for showing up in drag, you bitch.
Right, girl. It's been a minute.
One of Pearl's little sisters, she, like, I said, Pearl, you'll appreciate this. I said, it's been so long since anybody's seen Royal Tees. Her face is on the side of a milk crate.
Oh, my God.
And somebody goes, don't you mean a milk carton? I said, look how big the bitch is. Do you think she's going to fit on just
such
one carton?
A bitch. You are such a bitch.
Fuck, she's lucky they didn't put her picture on the side of the cow, bitch. Just let
you're
the cow
so
walk around.
Stupid. Oh, my goodness.
I said, bitch, look how big she is. You think she's going to fit on just the side of a carton?
Just a mess. I'm so glad that she took the initiative to finally get out there herself.
And she looked good.
Good.
She did. She looked good.
Good. I'm so happy.
I said, bitch, what are you doing? I looked at her outfit. I said, are you out here celebrating your quinceañera?
Right. I know she got a little shade online from people when she announced that she was going to go out.
Why?
You know how gay boys react. Someone
To what?
I don't know. You know how gay... this is what I don't understand. Like, spectators on the sidelines that, like, try to critique and say stuff about drag queens who aren't drag queens or entertainers themselves.
Right.
It was that kind of thing. And, I mean, it was no help that her sister, Amora, kind of laughed at the comment and didn't really say anything to it. But, you know, to each his own, I guess.
Well,
I'm so proud of Royal, though.
Yeah, of course, because you take the initiative and get out there. I mean, like I said, she looked fantastic. She seemed to be having a grand old time. So, bitch, go and get your life, girl.
Mm-hmm. You better live while the living live.
Did you meet her new boo?
What?
Did you meet her new boo?
Is he Asian?
Of course.
Oh, I didn't know that that was her thing. Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, I also didn't know that was her boo, but I saw them her together with this boy, and I had no idea. But so... Well, you better get a piece of that Asian girl. You better go on, Henty. So, back to your comment about, like, people making comments right. and stupid whatever. One of the things, so this past week, you guys, my class at Google, my Drag 101 class,
was
wrapped
it your last
up.
One? Yeah.
It wrapped up. They did their draguation, which was they got to perform in front of their peers from Google
this
and other places.
This is why your fridge is empty, because you don't have that class no more.
I know, bitch. It's the truth, Ruth. Otherwise, I'd be down there right now.
Right.
Eating like a sow. Bitch, I'd be like fuller than a tick on a coon's back. So, anyway. So, we had the draguation on last Wednesday, and they all got to perform, and I was so proud of them because, you know, of course, you guys, none of these boys or girls, because we had one cis female with us, like, in our class, too. You're not going to be seeing them on next season's RuPaul's Drag Race, you know? Like, they're baby drag queens. But they got to perform. They lived their dreams. Some of them were, like, outstanding performers. Like, amazing performers. Very, very good. And others were up there getting their life, and that is also super fun to watch as well.
Right.
Always.
I live.
One of the things that I said to them, like, as we were sort of, like, getting ready for that draguation performance, and I said, I bet you have a whole new degree of appreciation for what it takes for those people to go on that stage.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like everybody. It doesn't matter what the industry is. There's some bitch who's sitting at home who thinks that they can do it better than you can.
Right.
Like, that's the armchair quarterbacks who are telling those NFL players how to make the pass. Right. It's the people who are standing in the audience lip-syncing for their life while you're trying to perform up on stage and get your coin. Girl, there's one particular queen in this city, not a queen at all, but he is a queen, like, who always is trying to read a fucking bitch. And I was like, well, where's your fucking balls to get up there and do it? You can do it so much better.
Where's your wig and makeup, girl? Right. I knew it.
Girl, I whispered but if you can do so much fucking better, why aren't you up there doing it?
Right. And it's then, real,
girl. Oh, I don't want to get branded a drag queen. Well, bitch, let me tell you, you're a set of lashes and a fucking contour away from it.
Right.
And girl, let me tell you something. If you contoured, you could finally find out what it's like to have a cheekbone.
Right. So shady.
Anyway, but it's like there's always somebody who's like thinks that they're going to tell you about it or whatever. And I said to those people in my class, like, now you have a new appreciation. Right. You know? Like, because for the most part, they had to take what I had taught them for 7 weeks and do it all for themselves, you know? Uh-huh. And I believe that my little drag babies who came out of that have a new appreciation. And I said, next time you see some queen, whether she's like the best thing you've ever seen or the worst thing you've ever seen, you need to give her props. And if she's on a stage, you better hand her a dollar.
Right.
Because it takes a lot to get up there.
Yeah, you have to be. I remember like when I first started, like, it took me years to be comfortable with my makeup, but that didn't stop me from going out and booking shows and doing things, you know what I mean? Sure, people are always going to have something to say, but girl, that's fine.
Well, you know, I think that there's a definite difference in my mind. There's people who, no matter what you look like, they're going to be like, you're fierce, bitch!
Right.
No!
Right.
And then there are other people who, no matter what, how good you look, are going to be like, what's wrong with this? Or how about, well, motherfucker, you know, like, and usually most drag queens, if you have any level of awareness, if your lips are fucked up or something's like off, you're fully aware. You don't need me like some hoe out there reminding you every 2 seconds. But, you know, it's one of those things that takes a lot. And the interesting thing about this story, you guys, is I know exactly what it's like to be on both sides of this fence.
Right, girl. That's how you started drag.
Exactly right. The way I got into doing drag was many, many years ago, obviously.
I get to see you just, girl, running your motherfucking mouth. Well, thinking you were just Miss It. In the audience, girl, just irritating the shit out of whoever was on stage.
Well, first of all, you know I'm a heckler. I'm a very definite heckler in the audience. So this was before drag, I would be like, ah! So anyway, but how I ended up doing drag as Poya Del Mar for the very first time was, there was an event in 2005, in November of 2005.
Wow, that was the year I graduated high school.
Okay, well, there you have it, bitch. So in November 2005, there was this charity drag event where people who don't normally do drag or maybe do drag very sporadically do drag.
Was that Cookie Bites?
No, it was not Cookie Bites. It was a thing called Fall Follies. It's a fundraiser.
Oh, I've heard of Fall Follies.
So Fall Follies is a fundraising event here in San Francisco's Castro District for sober communities. So this queen had signed up to do this event, and girl, it was so sad because she bought a wig and then she sat for like 3 months combing this wig and like hanging out like at a coffee shop, just combing the wig and talking incessantly. Like, I was so fierce back in the day when I would do drag in Sacramento and do it. She was just like talking all this stuff. And I actually was super excited for her because I was like, okay, you did all this when you were a real hot mess. And now you're getting to like recreate yourself as a person who's not such a mess. And I was excited for her, and I went to the show to support her specifically, and then the time comes, they introduce, blah, blah, welcome to the stage, da-da-da. So she comes out. I cannot express to you how mortified I was. All she did, she looked like, it was frightening. She had this long straight wig on. She's very tall and thin. She had no padding. Oh. So long straight face, long straight hair, long skinny ass body. She had on this black gown, and all she did is just walk back and forth from one side of the, like in a 5 foot range, like back and forth. And occasionally she would like raise her hand.
Oh my goodness.
And it was nothing else. And so it was, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest. It was dreadful. It was painful to watch. But in my head, I was sitting there like, you fucking bitch. You've been talking for 3 months about how fierce you were. I came here to support you. I've paid my hard-earned money to see you, you bitch. And this is what I get? This is $20 worth? So I'm watching her and I'm reading her for filth in my head. But this is where the turn happens, you guys. I think that everybody has the good side, the angel and the devil, right? Like on your shoulders or in your head. And so the devil is like, you fucking bitch. And then the other side of my brain said, you know what? At least he has the balls to get up there and do this.
Girl, you know that side doesn't exist for you.
At least he has the balls to get up there and do this. You're sitting in the audience on your ass.
Right.
Doing nothing except complaining while that person is doing something that you would like to be doing. So either get up there and fucking do better or shut the fuck up. And I was like, in my head, I'm all like, well, I will get up there. I will show you. And the devil's like, ow. Yeah, it was just back and forth. It was like the devil's like, shut the fuck up in there. And then, no, I'm not going to. So it was like this whole thing. Well, 6 months later, they have what's called Spring Fling, which is the spring alternative to this same kind of drag show, fundraising event. And I got up there, and that is when Poya Del Mar debuted. And that was my debut. As it turned out, that very night, I felt fabulous. And so I went out into the Castro and with my friends, and we went to a drag show. The host of the drag show, who I'd never met at the time, pulled me onto the stage because I was very tall and very blonde and said, where do you perform? And the whole thing. And I told her I didn't. So she asked for audience response, said, who wants to see her come back and perform with us? And I was like with this large group of friends. So they were like, yeah. And that was the night I met Cookie Dough.
Oh,
and that is how my drag career started. Cookie legitimately pulled me out of an audience and made me one of the stars of her show for the next at least 2 to 3 years.
Aww.
That's incredible.
And it's really, like, and so the thing about it is, like, going back to what I was saying before, like, until I got up there, and I did honestly do a lot better than that queen did, but the fact was, like, I learned an important lesson from that, and that is that unless you are willing to do better yourself, or unless you're willing to, like, step up to the plate, you need to either put up or shut up. And if somebody else is fucking living their life, let them do it, girl. Like, doesn't mean you have to be a fan of it, but you also, I mean, because there's a lot of people today who I'd be like, they're out there fucking living the dream, and I still ain't a fan of theirs. So it's like, that's fine. And there's, I'm sure tons of people who are not my fan.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to? Why can't you treat me would be treated by any stranger on the street? Because I am not one of your fans.
I mean, think of it politically wise, like, think about, like, just as someone, you being someone who's gay, like, straight people aren't always gonna, like, care for your lifestyle or whatever, but they still should respect it.
Well, absolutely.
You know?
And I think, well, that's very important. Like, I think that...
So it's the same thing. Like, you don't have to live for somebody's art or whatever it is they're doing, but, you know, respect them.
And also, something else that I... Like, it's adjacent to this. It's not the same exact thing, but also another philosophy I live by, you guys, is that when I find myself in a situation, this is usually something societally... When I find myself in a situation where I say to myself, somebody, well, actually, usually not even to myself, I'm usually fucking bitching to someone else. Someone needs to do X, Y, Z. I've started to say to myself, well, why not you?
Yeah, I was like, bitch, why don't you do it?
Like, somebody needs to fix this problem.
Bitch, well, you fix it.
What are you doing? That is how, for example, a few years ago, I started my Socket to the Homeless drive.
Oh, nice.
Like, Socket to Homelessness, because I saw this problem and I was like, somebody really needs to help these people in some way that's, like, actually accessible to them and direct with them. And then I thought, well, why not me? Like, why not me and the people that I know? Like, if I have the ability to harness groups of people to, like, do something positive, I feel like there's some obligation to do that. And
well,
so,
look at you doing good.
I know.
Who would have thought Poyo was trying to be, like, was ever a good guy?
What the Munchkins want to know is, are you a good witch or a bad witch? But I've already told you, I'm not a witch at all.
Bitch, I am a good person, Bitter Betty. So, anyway. So, that, I mean, that's the thing. I think that some people out there would be like, well, I can't really do anything. But that's not true. Like, even if with us, like, have we eradicated homelessness? No.
Right.
Have we, like... provided for everybody who's on the streets? No, but certainly, like, when you consider the fact that from that, like, grassroots effort of, like, basically just putting boxes out at locations at Christmas time and from Thanksgiving to Christmas time, we raised 3 carloads of toiletries, socks, underwear, and personal items for San Francisco's homeless population. That's sure hell a lot more than what they had before.
Right.
And you know that they don't fucking care how much you were able to raise, as long as they've got warm feet for the night.
Right.
They're like, girl, thank
you.
I'll
take it, yeah.
Exactly. So, that's the other thing. If you can't do better than somebody else is doing, and you're not willing to even try, shut the fuck up.
Shut it up.
And if there's nobody doing it, and you think somebody needs to...
Do it.
Get off your ass, bitch, and do it. Speaking of which, you guys, I'm going to tell you guys something. Pearl, already, I just asked her when she came in. She's agreed to be one of my guinea pigs.
Okay, yeah.
So a few weeks ago, like, well, today, how this started is today I got a text message from my friend Edward J. Lee, not to be mistaken with Mayor Ed Lee of San Francisco, who is a twat. Like, my friend Edward Lee is a local realtor, very sexy, handsome man. He's also a part-time personal trainer.
Is this a former fling?
Yes. Yes, very handsome guy, good-looking guy, former fling. Sorry, Edward, I didn't mean to put our fucking business out there, but whatever. So, he texted me and was like, I was watching one of your makeup transformations on Facebook, and you, like, are a lot harder on your face with all the makeup and taking it on and putting it off, or putting it on and taking it off and all that stuff, than I am. But your skin looks really good. What are you doing? Well, most of you guys have heard me say in the past that I don't really have a lot of, like, a regimen. But a few weeks ago, I decided I, like, put together this sort of, like, I wouldn't say exactly homeopathic, because it's not all stuff that's, like, natural ingredients. Some of it's, like, pre-existing products that I mixed together. But I made this face spray that's, like, a toner and a moisturizer, and it's got some rejuvenative qualities in it. And I've really noticed, like, over 3 weeks, like, how it's, like, I feel like it's improving my skin. My skin is softer. Like, there's less dry patches, because I get, like, I have a combination skin. So, uh-huh. like, there'll be areas that get dry and some whatever. And I've also noticed that it's also, I feel like, reduced some of the wrinkles around my smile lines. So, anyway, so he asked about this, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll brew you up some. And then he was like, whatever you're doing is working, so I'm going to try it, and I think that, like, you should sell this. He's like, you should sell it. And I'm like, well, I want to just see if it even works. So I've lined up, like, 8 of my friends who are going to try this. Pearl is one of them.
Girl, and if my face breaks out, y'all know, and this is proof that I should be able to sue this bitch.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't think your face is going to break out. If you have a reaction similar to that, it's probably because it's got some natural emollients and oils in it. But this is the best part, you guys. This is what Pearl doesn't know that is really going to benefit her specifically. It also repels fleas.
Shut up, bitch.
It is a natural flea repellent.
Are you telling me you have flea repellent in that facial
spray? I'm telling you that there are natural products that inherently repel insects. Remember, you're maybe too young to remember this, but back in the day, there was a very, very popular Avon product called Skin So Soft. It's like an amazing moisturizer, but it was also widely, widely recommended as an easy way to, like, repel bugs, as opposed to, like,
weird.
It's not weird, because there's natural oils and natural plant products that automatically repel insects. So
that's weird.
Well, how I got to using this product, y'all, this is ridiculous, and Pearl's probably gonna back out, but my oldest dog, Piggy, has terrible...
Here we go.
Hold on. He has really bad skin allergies. So he has very, very bad skin allergies. So I was researching ways to find natural, because I didn't want to put products on him that would be like, have like harmful chemicals in them or anything like that. So I researched a lot of different ways to make a natural skin, like, moisturizer for him, as well as a flea repellent. Like, so if you can do it all at once. Well, as it turns out, the very same things that are good for the skin also happen to, many of them, repel bugs. So after, like, 2 weeks of using this on Piggy, he had noticeably, noticeably improved. Like, the redness went away in his skin a lot. Like, he was itching a lot less, and his hair was starting to grow back. So then, one night, like, the weather has been really, really warm periodically. So, like, the dogs sleep with me, and sometimes they get fleas. And so, if they get in the fleas and they get in the bed, then sometimes I get a flea bite. So, I was like, I'm going to just spray this on myself. So, I sprayed it on my elbows in the night and, like, on my knees to keep it away, you know. And then I sprayed a little on my face. Well, the next day I woke up, my knees and elbows were super soft, and my face was like really, like, it felt really, really soft. And I noticed it had like a glow that was only like,
wasn't an allergic reaction, bitch.
Whatever, girl. my skin looks really good. You have to admit. Like,
I mean, it looks okay.
Girl, I'm 44 years old.
Girl, so. Do you hear this?
I almost said 43, but I'm 44 years old.
46, girl.
Whatever, not with the 46 skin. She's, bitch, when I'm 46, she'll still be like, not 46. And then hopefully she's so stuck on stupid that when I'm like 50, she'll be like, not 46 again. So anyway, but I just tried it on myself because, like I said, there's nothing in it that's bad. It's just all like different plant products and different essential oils and stuff like that. But it has like, it gave me a glow. It gave me like, the skin was soft. And I was like, okay. So I've been using it for like 2.5, 3 weeks now. And I really believe I see a natural difference. So we're going to have Pearl try it. She's going to try it for like a week or whatever. And then next week on the podcast, she can recap.
I'll use it for a week, bitch. So, if it works out, are you going to try to put a face on it and sell it?
I don't know about that. Like, the best I could do, because, girl, you probably have to go through all kinds of, like, testing and stuff to be able right. to actually sell it. So I'll just be like, this is my homeopathic remedy. And then I'll let my Facebook supporters and shit like that be like,
right.
order it privately. So
I
that
it's that.
So, but, you know, hold on. So, but meanwhile, I do know my friend, one of my friends runs Atomic Cosmetics. And so Dr. Jen runs Atomic Cosmetics. So if this is something that like I find is like, you uh-huh. know, works, maybe I'll be like, hey, Dr. Jen.
Yeah, again.
Girl, she's a fucking, she is legit, you guys, a rocket scientist. She used to work in like aerospace, whatever science, and stopped doing that because she wanted to make cosmetic products that were safe for people's skin and like really good for people's skin. So if you get a chance, go check out Dr. Jen at Atomic Cosmetics. Shout out to Dr. Jen. I love her. She's a doll.
You got a big old spider.
Oh, girl. Hold, please. Ooh. I don't even see it, but Pearl's shrieking and backing up.
Get out.
Pearl's trapped. Pearl saw the spider, but got trapped by lube. Right. She got trapped in our Swiss baby lube.
The spider is big.
Where, girl? I don't see a spider.
It's hanging off the lube box.
Oh, not a spider. It is. Okay, so first of all, there's a giant spider hanging off a big, like, small case of Swiss Navy lube that's in my living room. And then Pearl was trying to get away from it, but she got trapped in the huge case, a ginormous case of Swiss Navy lube.
Which means we need to give them away.
We really need to do some giveaways. So, I just came up with an idea.
After you kill that spider girl.
Okay, after the spider, I'm going to tell you my idea for a giveaway. Hold, please. All right, y'all, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. The spider.
I was going to show up.
The spider went missing. Pearl is having a panic attack. I tried to get the spider, but.
With her bare hands, girl.
I'm not afraid of spiders. Well, okay. So, you guys who are out there listening, it wasn't actually like.
It was a spider.
It wasn't a real spider.
Spider has 8 legs. It had 8 legs.
It was a daddy long legs. Anybody who knows what a daddy long legs is knows that they're not harmful. There's nothing to them. It was just chilling over there on the lube box, girl. It was there because it had invited some tricks over. It was all lubed and ready. It had woven a sling for itself.
Right.
Yeah, y'all girl. Better come over and hit this.
Plans canceled, bitch.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so how about this? Pearl, think of a random word. Any random word.
Okay.
No, tell us.
Blue.
All right, you guys. The winning word is blue. Go to our Facebook page at Party Foul Radio and send us a message on Facebook saying blue.
It's B-L-E-W, not the color.
Yeah, B-L-E-W, because she's a whore. Send us our code word for this episode, blue, B-L-E-W, in a message to our Facebook page. And if you do, we will send you a small box of Swiss Navy premium lubricant. You have to pay for the shipping, though, bitch, because I am not paying for this.
You are such a mess.
Are you going to pay for it? This is probably like...
What, $5?
$8 or something.
You think so?
I don't know, bitch, but whatever. It's like a one-size-fits-all thing.
Well, you're just going to give them what's in here?
Girl, like, these are individual... Okay, you guys, just so you know, if you go and use the code word blue, B-L-E-W, you'll get a packet. It's a box full of individual packets of Swiss Navy lube, but these individual packages equal one... Like, all of these equal... almost one of those huge bottles.
Well, girl, why don't you just send one of those huge bottles?
Because right now we only have one huge bottle, and this is silicone-based lube, and most people want that, and the one we have is water-based. So, either way, go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/partyfoulradio. Like the page if you haven't already. Share this episode of Party Foul Radio with the headline, I Want to Win Swiss Navy Lube. and send us a message with the code word BLEW, B-L-E-W, because Pearl's a whore, and be entered to win. If you are one of the first three people to give us the code word BLEW, we'll respond back and ship you one of these, send you some Swiss Navy premium lubricants.
And if you live in the city, maybe she could just drop it off to you.
Exactly. You won't even have to pay for that. So go now to our facebook.com/partyfowlradio.
You have to have liked us on both Twitter and Facebook.
If you're on Twitter, you have to follow us. Okay. That is our giveaway for Swiss Navy Premium Personal Lubricant. Bitch, we don't have to mention them again because we just talked about them for 15 minutes once again. All right, you guys. We're going to take a quick little potty break. And when we come back, we'll have more Party Foul Radio right after this.
Oh, she really came that way? All right. My name is Alyssa Edwards.
All right.
I'm known as the Vanessa Williams of drag.
All right.
I am here to show people I still got it.
All right.
I need to
get up in this gig, girl.
My name is Alyssa Edwards, and this is Party Foul Radio.
I don't get cute. I get drop dead gorgeous.
And we're back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
So, today, this is a fun bit of interesting LGBT-related news, celebrity-related news as well. I don't know how many of you out there are like me, but I'm a huge fan of the Tales of the City series by Armistead Maupin. Are you familiar, Pearl?
Yes.
Okay. So, for those who are not in the know, in the early 80s, Armistead Maupin was working at the San Francisco Chronicle as a columnist there, and he began writing a fiction series, which later turned into the Tales of the City book series. It was a best-selling series of books by Armistead Maupin, and it was later turned into an amazing TV miniseries. It starred Olympia Dukakis as Mrs. Madrigal, a number of other really well-known celebrities playing in it, and it became iconic. It captures the feel of San Francisco and the LGBTQ movement in the late 70s, early 80s, beautifully. It's
did you actually read it?
Did I?
Uh-huh.
Oh my god, they're all right there. The whole series.
Oh wow.
Like, he's one of my favorite authors of all time, and I am always flattered. I'm currently in the middle of writing a ongoing anthology series of sorts, semi-fictional, based on my own life experiences here in San Francisco. It's called Life by the Bay. It's on the Huffington Post, Queer Voices. Often you can go there. If you Google my name, Poyo Del Mar, and Huffington Post, it'll pull up all of my articles for them, and you can read the whole series as it stands to date. There's like 18. There are 18 so far installments of this series, Life by the Bay, and each one of them is pretty much serialized, but they are also usually self-contained, so you can just read one or you can read them all. Anyway, that's how Tales of the City started out as well. So today I was in the Castro, and Armistead still lives here to this day, and I've met him numerous times at both social events, and he is a frequent attendee of a local dog park in the area. And as it turned out, he and I, what I believe to be his boyfriend or perhaps partner, were walking their dog this afternoon, and they had lunch in the Castro, and I had a chance to chit-chat with him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I introduced myself, and I said what a big fan of his work I am, and I asked him if the rumors are true that Netflix is looking into reviving the Tales of the City as a, I don't know if it's going to be an ongoing TV series or if it would be a mini series. I think that, I mean, there are numerous books in the story, you guys. So it could be an ongoing kind of almost an anthology series along the lines of what we see on American Horror Story, where there's like, you know, one season and it's however many episodes.
Yeah.
And then, but the fact is it's the same characters throughout, but they go through different, like they skip ahead a few years. It'll like tell a story and then it'll skip ahead a few years and then tell another story. And it goes on. He's still writing pieces of this series to this day. Like,
oh wow. Okay.
And so he'll, it'll be things like, Michael Tolliver Lives, for example. Michael Tolliver was one of the original characters in the series, and then the Michael Tolliver Lives jumped forward like many, many, many years to tell his story as, like, from being 24 or whatever what he was in the original series to being, like, 45 or 50, I think.
Oh, wow.
Because it tells where he was today. And then Mrs. Madrigal, who I don't want to give... If you haven't read it... Oh, spoiler alert, because I'm going to give this away. Spoiler alert, you guys.
Spoilers.
If you have not read The Tales of the City and you don't want one of the main
plots
lines to be spoiled, skip ahead, y'all. Now, with that said, for those of you who are familiar with the series, you already know that, as it turns out, Mrs. Madrigal is a transsexual woman. She's transsexual. She's had all the surgeries, everything. And one of the later series is something like the early life of Anna Madrigal. So okay. It goes back to her pre-transition days and tells her childhood story and all of this. So the series goes on for, you know, decades, literally. It is something that would be probably really rich in opportunity for Netflix, and Netflix does beautifully with these kind of stories. I would love, honest to God, I would love to see Dustin Lance Black come in
and
direct it. Could you, I mean, like, it would be so perfect for him. Yeah. Like, he would get the historical feel of it right. He would get, I mean, it would just be perfect for him. So, and according to Armistead in our conversation today, he said that Netflix is definitely interested. It's kind of being batted back and forth. And
you're coming soon.
And, well, maybe, but as he said, what he said to me was, well, you know how L.A. is, and L.A. takes a lot of time to move anything forward. Mm-hmm. So the Hollywood movie industry and the television industry takes a lot of back and forth, but this is something I think would be amazing. Dustin Lance Black, as a friend of the podcast, get on it, boo. Bro. Get on it. This is like, you know, after Milk and after, you know, all of this historical elements of work that you've done that are like, are actually biographical pictures, this would be a great foray into appropriate fiction for you. So get on it, girl. I'm gonna text him.
Girl, tag him.
Tagged him. So this is something, and I'm so excited. I'm so stoked for that. I, you know, like I said, he is one of the authors who has shaped my work for years in terms of, and it's certainly this fiction series that I'm doing, not only because of the structure of the story and the setting of the story being here in San Francisco and whatever, it has that kind of feel to it, but certainly the kind of voice he brings as an author to his work is something that I could only aspire to.
Hmm.
And I've done a lot of celebrity interviews over the years, you guys, and he is one of the very few where I felt intimidated during the interview process.
Huh.
Just because of how much I love him. You know, like, certainly not the most famous person, certainly not the most whatever, but because of the fact that he has had such a huge impact on me as an individual, and I really believe on our culture by telling our stories, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, here's a person who, Jesus Christ, 1980, so like almost 40 years ago, went out of his way to make one of the central characters a transgender, transsexual woman.
Incredible.
And I can see his pearls like, while she's yawning and shit. But transsexual woman, and she was humanized. He told her story so beautifully and like...
And how long ago was it that he included her in the story?
She was included in the story from legitimately like the first series.
So like back in the 70s?
Right, like whenever he started writing it, because the way the story is situated...
That's really incredible, then.
Every single primary character, she's the hub around which they all cycle. They would not know, all the lead characters would not know each other if it were not for Mrs. Madrigal.
Huh.
Because Mrs. Madrigal is the one who is the landlady at their famous address where they all come together to live in this sort of like boarding house situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the glue that binds them all together. She becomes the maternal figure for all these young people who are in San Francisco, like, learning their ways. There's the straight woman, the bisexual woman, the straight guy, the gay guy. She's got it all, and she's the hub around which they center. So she is a huge plot device, and there's an entire series of storylines that tell her history from the very beginning of the series.
Oh my goodness, I love it.
So he was very inclusive of all people from go. So
as soon as auditions happen, girl, I'm on it.
So exactly. Get in there, girl. All right, you guys. So that's that. Oh, hold on. We're going to take a quick pause. We're not breaking. We're just going to pause because I need to plug this computer in.
And save it before we lose it all.
Yes, girl. Hold, please.
And we're back.
And what?
I totally just broke the necklace I had on.
Pearl, God forbid. Meanwhile, the way she I mean, I guess, like, you know, jewelry, the death of jewelry is always important, but...
No!
The way she reacted, I thought that she'd fucking found that spider in her tits.
I liked this necklace so much. Where's the rest of the chain?
I don't know, bitch. What, look, how long is the chain, girl? Look.
It's pretty long.
Yeah, clearly. That's not... You can fix that. All it's gonna take is a pair of tweezers and a little time. Anyway... So, as we were saying, like, Armistead Maupin told me on Good Faith that, in fact, it is in the works for a Tales of the City series, possible return to television, and all of you guys out there, keep your fingers crossed. Dustin Lance Black, get on it. That's a recap of all of that. Now, in other news, it's not really news at all, bitch, but my drag mother, Landa Lakes, always is sending me random ridiculousness. So... She apparently found an article online about the difficulties that bottoms have.
Oh, girl. I would love to hear this.
Okay. So she sends me a screen cap of this piece of the article. I'm going to read it to you guys. I wish I knew what article it was so I could tell you. But anyway, so this piece of the article says, like many bottoms, my gay friend George, asterisk, obviously it's a name that's protected.
Right.
My gay friend George has a harrowing story about using an enema before anal sex. Uh-huh. I had met a guy on Grindr, he said. I get to his place and ring the doorbell. As he opened the door to say hi, I coughed and shat out a load of poo water into my underwear.
Oh, no.
Loudly. Uh-uh. I had to run into his flat, straight to the toilet, and throw my underwear away. It was all down my legs.
Oh, snap.
It killed the mood, needless to say. And yes, I left the dirty underwear there.
Excuse me, bitch.
So Landa's like, this is disgusting. And I was like, bitch, that happens, girl. Like, it happens out there, you guys. And I was recently telling some friends of mine about the hazards of douching, like, you know, I was talking about this with them, and I am not gonna play, bitches. I have a power shower shot right in, hung up in my shower.
Girl, I have one too.
Okay,
it doesn't stay in my shower like your nasty ass,
bitch. Girl. I don't care. I already told you guys about the time that Aunt Gina came and stayed with me. She's like, "Oh my god, you have a huge douche in the shower." I said, "Bitch, use it as a back massager and shut the fuck up." Anyway, whatever, girl. So. Girl, when my niece stayed with me,
that's so disgusting.
I left it in there, and I told her it was to wash the dogs.
<That's> stupid.
But I was telling some, you know, I was telling some people. I said, "This is what needs to happen for me." Like, this is how the whole conversation started. My house is a wreck. Pride and it was already a wreck. But pride
every day.
But pride really fucking put an extra kink in the plan, and so. I said, this is what I need. I need some OCD bitch to come over to my house and hang out with me. Because not only are they OCD and will want to start cleaning themselves, but when I have guests just hanging out with me, I automatically start cleaning. So if there's somebody here to chat with me, I'll like straighten the place up. And I don't really think much of it because somebody's helping me kill the time, you know. Right. But to get myself fully prepared for this OCD bitch to come over and hang out with me, I need to have a trick over because when you invite a trick over, I'm telling you right now, girl, I can clean this apartment to a respectable level and clean the apartment, douche, and hide the dogs in 20 minutes it takes for a trick to get here.
I cannot. Just a mess, girl.
Girl, I don't care. And my friends were like, you can do all that in 15 minutes. I was like, fuck yeah, bitch. I'm an overachiever. So like, you know... I'm like on the Grindr in the shower telling them my address. I'm like, okay, I'll be ready. You know, I'm like already douching. But we got on the conversation of douching and I said, you know, the worst thing about douching, there's like things that you have to recognize. Depending on what your colon is and whatever, you can like douche and then all of a sudden you have a water pocket up in there.
Yeah.
And it's, girl, it's like fucking bursting a water balloon.
Right.
And all of a sudden, next thing you know, shat on the dick.
Right.
And that is a boner killer for sure.
It's real.
Girl, you know where you're putting that dick. Don't act like you're surprised that there might have been some poop up in there.
Right.
So just be real about the thing. I was like, the other thing is you have to begin to recognize that you have to be conscious of what you've recently eaten. Because certain things already make you predisposed. Like, you don't really want to have a trick come over if you've just recently eaten a chili dog. Like, a chili dog is already going to be a mess.
Yeah, don't do that, girl.
Don't do it.
Or if you ate anything with a bunch of fiber in it, girl, don't do it.
Like,
or if you just had coffee, girl, don't do that either. Coffee's a laxative.
Bitch, last week, Pearl was like, where should I take my date? She's like, besides like a bar or something, you know, I don't want to invite him over to my house because I don't want to seem like a hoe. And I was like, well, invite him out for coffee. And she's like, no, girl, I can't do that. And I was like, why can't you invite your date to coffee? And she said, because coffee's a laxative. And what if it goes really well? Then I won't be able to put out. And I was like, oh, I get it, bitch. You don't want to invite him to your house so you don't seem like a hoe. But you don't want to take him to coffee so you can't be a hoe.
I am a girl.
Whatever. Fucking clocked, bitch. Clocked. Just fucking rudder beads.
Point being, girl, don't do it.
Anyway, so, you know, like, you have to be very careful. And I was telling these people, I was like, you also have to be sure that you don't eat certain things like mushrooms, because mushrooms don't really digest because they're a fungus. So a mushroom won't digest fully. So, bitch, you could end up having to stomp an entire shiitake down the drain in your shower.
Oh, my God.
Be like, girl, don't. Bitch, I have eaten some things, and when I douched, I looked like fucking Lucy and Ethel stomping the grapes, girl.
Shit.
Up in the shower, just fucking stomping. I was fucking river dancing so hard in the shower one time before a trick came over. I accidentally broke the fucking strainer thing over top of the hole.
Oh, no.
So now, fortunately, I could poop an entire, like, loaf of bread, and it would just slip right down the drain.
You are so disgusting.
Whatever, girl. Sorry about it. If you're a first-time listener, this is the facts of gay life, bitch. It's the truth, Ruth. And if you're out there and you're like, ew, and you're a bottom, don't even fucking try it, queen. Right. Like, even if you're versatile, don't try it, because at least one time you had to fucking clean out the pucker.
Right.
You had to clean the pucker, motherfucker.
That's nasty, but yes.
It's the truth, girl. And that's one of the things that we strive for here. We strive to educate, entertain, and inform. And if you are not feeling educated, entertained, or informed by this conversation, you should just change to another podcast.
You know, I had a friend who told me that this guy that he sleeps with used to use, like, a scented oil in his douche to make him smell really pretty down there. I need to get on that.
Bitch, I frequently tell people, they're like, have you ever done anal bleaching? And I said, hell to...
What? No.
I said, hell to no, bitch. You need to do what I do. Use 2 Crest whitening strips and an Altoid. Just
what
stick them up
wrong
in there.
With you?
By the time your trick gets there, bitch, your pucker is pinky.
No.
And smells all like minty fresh, girl. And if you got an ass like mine, you better use 2 Altoids. They might be curiously strong, but bitch, so is that hole.
Girl, stop. Just a minute.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Oh my God. Sable Jones is going to be listening to this at work and just fall dead right on the floor.
I'm going to get a text message.
Girl, it's fine because I already was texting some shady ass shit to her earlier today.
What did I miss?
Well, I was texting, you saw that. I sent her the fucking Transformation Tuesday for that bloated bullfrog lady cookie couture. I didn't give a fuck, bitch. I don't give a... Please, somebody tag that whore. I don't fucking care.
Oh, my God.
I saw her eating... I was in the Castro the other day, and I walked in, and y'all, I would explain who this person is, but she is so disinteresting. Even people in San Francisco don't know her, so you don't need to know about her. Suffice it to say, bitch, she looks like that bullfrog that used to open for Warner Brothers, like, hello, oh my darling, hello, my ragtime gal. I said, bitch, when your Transformation Tuesday looks like you put lipstick on a bullfrog, it's not that much of a transformation, ho. Anyway, I saw her eating in the Castro, and I swear to God, I looked over at one point in time, and there was a fly buzzing over the salad bar, and her tongue just shot out and caught it.
Ew. Have you guys had words?
Oh, I fucking read that fat bitch for filth on Facebook.
Well, I know that, but since then, have you guys talked?
No, I blocked that whore. She had the, like, I said something. Okay, it started because there was a picture a friend of mine posted with her lurking all up in the background. And I said, ooh, be careful. That thing is staring at you, staring you down or something like that.
Oh, no.
And she's like, ah, somebody, of course, somebody being shady tagged her.
We just had a conversation about this
last week. But this is the difference. I didn't back down. I wasn't like, oops, bitch, I'd say it to your fat, ugly face. So...
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
You need a big fucking eye to behold all of that, bitch. Anyway, so she came at me going, oh, look at you. You know you use cheap makeup. I said, I use cheap makeup and still look like this, bitch. You could fucking buy out a MAC cosmetic store and you'd still look like a toad with lashes.
Oh my God.
A fucking discussion. Same person, a couple years ago, Angie Mima, Angie's husband, Joshua Bramlett, and I were sitting at Orphan Andy's after a show. She comes barging up in there with John Weber. She's like, people here need to respect me.
Oh,
she's like giving me the stink eye. People here need to show some respect. It's my birthday.
Girl.
And I just looked right at her and I said, excuse me, did she say it's her birthday or that she's going to give birth today? Because I can't tell.
A bitch.
Angie collapsed on the table laughing. I don't fucking care. Do not care.
Oh my God.
All true stories. I'm a fucking bitch and I don't have to make shit up. I will read the whore to her face.
I love it.
Both sides of it, because it's wide, but fuck.
Oh, my goodness. But you said both sides of it.
Like, honey, both sides of it. When you're such a bitch that our dearly beloved Cookie Dough has a problem with you...
Something's wrong.
That something's wrong. Cookie never met a person in her life that pretty much she didn't love.
Right.
And she had a problem with her. So, girl... Standing at the edge of my stage one time at my show, staring at her face in a compact for the entire show. And I walked up to her and said, you can put it away, honey. It isn't getting any better.
Oh.
Just go. Just stop.
You know, I could see her doing that too.
Of course. Giving people the stink eye. Looking like she's got fucking gastrointestinal disorders.
Right.
Fucking take a Tums, bitch, and fucking sit down.
Oh, girl. You've had your run-ins, girl.
I do, but that the funny thing is, like, I reserve my run-ins for people who are worth a run-in.
Yeah.
You know, like, most of the people that I've had, like, an issue with have been somebody significant to some degree, just because people, you know, like, certain people just butt heads. Like, Malay and I both have huge personalities, and, like, we were, like, you know, coming onto the scene and coming up at the same time. And you get huge personalities, two people who are super motivated and driven. And people are going to clash. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she's somebody that I would consider, like, during that time period, like, a worthy foe. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she was worthwhile. Bitch, this is somebody that, like...
Right.
It's like, you've got to stop, girl. Just fucking sit down. There's an entire row of seats. Take them all because you're going to need them. You just, like, go.
Oh, my
God. So, anyway, girls. Y'all really got... That one, I got
on a lighter note. Back to douching. Are there any more in your life?
On a lighter note. Back to douching. So, okay, you guys. She asked if there's any men in my life. And not really. Like, so...
So that's a yes.
Well, it's a, like, a not really. So...
It means they just aren't... Are they, it's not official yet.
Well, no. Okay, so this is the thing. So I met a guy a while back.
And how many dates have you been on so far?
How many dates have we been on? Probably 10.
Oh.
Yeah, many.
Okay.
Probably 10 or more. So we met.
So y'all have definitely knocked the boots and everything at this point.
Nope.
What? 10 dates and you still haven't put out? Girl, you better, if you don't open those, like, soon.
No,
girl.
Well, I'm about to explain why. Yeah, you guys, first of all, I'm not Pearl. Girl, I can go on a coffee date without getting fucked in the Starbucks bathroom, okay?
Whatever, girl.
So, that's Pearl, but I, first and foremost, I automatically know that I'm going to go on 3 to 5 dates with somebody before there's actual
fuck. You doubled that.
Before you're fucking. Like, that's my normal. So, this gentleman, who is very nice, he's handsome, he's nice, he's generous. He's, like, well-educated. All these things. He's, like, on paper, he would be, like, a good fit for what I'm looking for. He's actually my age. He's actually a couple years older.
Oh, look at you.
He's a couple years older.
So
we went out. And when I first met him, there was, like, a definite chemistry. The first date. Then the second date, we made out and we got naked.
Oh.
And I was just not feeling that at all. Like, I didn't feel the chemistry. Oh. There was there was chemistry at first.
Was he a bad kisser or something?
It
was a number of things.
There was, like, a lot of things that, like, just felt...
The puzzle pieces just weren't connected.
Right. So, yeah. But because in the past, I have made snap judgments about my compatibility with people and later found out that I was quite wrong and, like, there are people that, whatever, I was like, okay, I'm going to give this... I'm not going to just make a snap, like, no, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
So we went out again. And again. And again. And every single time I enjoyed being with him, I felt comfortable being with him. We would hold hands and we would, like, whatever. It felt very comfortable. But it did not feel any spark at all. None. And...
So does it just feel forced?
It feels slightly more than platonic, but not romantic.
Okay.
And it's one of those things, like, so this was the deciding factor, you guys. We went out all these times, and finally I was like, you know what? I want another person's perspective. So I was spending part of the weekend with this was 2 weeks ago. With Shigellarella, my best friend. And I got a text from him, this person, saying, like, that he was feeling kind of bummed out. Some things had not been going well for him that day. And as it turned out, legitimately, he was, like, a few blocks from where we were having dinner.
Oh, wow.
And I said, well, you know what? Why don't you come over and join us? Mm-hmm. So he came and joined us. And he sat and he talked to my best friend. And you guys know, everybody out there has that one friend that, like, knows you inside and out. And, right. So they were talking and I, like, purposely excused myself. I went to the bathroom and then I went outside to the car for a few minutes. And then when I came back in, like, you know, sat and chilled with them and we wrapped up. So as soon as everybody had gone their separate ways, I asked Shags, like, so what do you think? And she said, he's nice. He's fairly attractive. He's obviously smart and, like, motivated. And she said, and you're just not into him. Oh. And I said, yeah, that's it. But the thing was, so you guys, Shags is not only my drag daughter and my best friend, he's also a trained therapist.
So, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, she works with people who have special needs in the East Bay. And so she's like, but the thing about her is, girl, she'll fucking meet a bitch. And 1 second later, she's got 18 diagnoses for them or whatever. So
does she have one for you? I'm sure.
Oh, yes, she does. So she does. And anyway, so she basically, after talking to him for this, like, 15-minute period of time, she didn't diagnose him with, like, any disorders or whatever. But she assessed the situation and she said, look, you are a huge personality. Mm-hmm. You need somebody who can challenge you. You need somebody who can, like, keep up with you. And the thing is, this guy is so nice. There's no challenge there. Like, I'm not talking, like, challenge, like,
because he's so nice.
I'm okay. Like, what I mean is, like, you know, like, when I make, like, some of my remarks or whatever, like, that I do, like, I need somebody who can, like, come back with that.
Right.
You, like, can roll with that and, like, hold their own. He can't. I end up feeling like I'm being a total bitch to him.
Because you are, girl.
No, it's when it's just joking. I'm like, and then when he tries, it, like, never lands, and it just is really awkward.
That's so cute that he tried.
So, but this, you guys, this was the deciding thing. This is when I was like, okay, I'm just done with this. So I knew that whatever was not working on my part, like, Pearl is right, y'all. We've gone out, like, 10 times or a dozen times, and they've been no nothing.
Right.
And that's already fucking lesbian bed death
right
there. But we went out recently. He asked me if we could go out to lunch, and we went to this place, and he purposely chosen a place like that was on the water. It was really pretty and nice little view. It was very sweet. So we're sitting there and we're eating and everything. And then I got a phone call because a friend of mine had gone into the ER that morning and was in some having some issues. And so, I got a call from him, my friend who had been in the hospital. And I said to my friend, the person I was on a date with, I was like, we're in a restaurant. This is my friend. I told him about the situation. Like, this is my friend who's calling from the hospital, We're in a restaurant. I kind of don't want to talk, even though nobody's going to know, I still don't want to talk about his personal medical situation around all these people. So I'm going to step outside. So I did. And as it turned out, like, I was just wandering around talking to him on the phone. And so the restaurant has like a walkway that wraps around towards the water. And so I'm walking, and then I noticed that, like, because we'd been sitting right in the window. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go up and knock on the window and like startle him, you know, just to be a fucking twat. So I go to knock on the window, and I knock the first time, and I'm like standing on these steps, and it's like above my head. I knock, but he doesn't respond. So I like take a few steps up, and when I go to knock again, I notice that he's sitting with his back to the window, and he had pulled up Adam for Adam. And I was like, okay, like, this isn't working for me. On one level, it's obviously not working for him because he's actually out with me fucking checking for hookups or whatever when he knows, because I was getting ready to leave and go meet up with Jack because this was actually last Thursday because we went to the Adam Lambert concert together. And so Shigella and I went to the Adam Lambert concert, and this was right before that. So I'm like, okay, he drove me part way to have this lunch or whatever. But now he's looking for local hookups, knowing that I'm, like, getting ready to go somewhere else. And that's when I was like, okay, before I had been like, oh, I don't want to hurt his feelings or whatever, like, you know, because he seems to be into me.
At this point,
I was like, okay, he's not as into me as, like, I thought he was, because he's obviously fucking looking for something else while we're at lunch when I'm stepped outside to talk to my friend who was just in the hospital.
Or he's getting the vibe that you're just not into him.
Well, either way, like... he just texted me and like, he was like, I hope you had a good weekend. Cause I haven't talked to him like since Friday.
Okay.
And I was just like, you know, I want to still be cordial to him. I'd like us to be friends, but there's nothing there.
How do you say that?
Well, part of me is like, I'm just going to be honest with him and be like, I think that it's obvious that like, this is not going the direction. Like, I think maybe either one of us would have expected it first. And I do want to let you know that, like, I felt this before we went out on Thursday, but when I accidentally saw you through the window on Adam for Adam...
Girl, you don't need to do that, because that comes off of you just trying to use him as the blame to not working out.
Right.
And like, you don't need to do that.
No. Like, I agree with what you're saying in part, but what I want to... Like, the reason I want to bring that up to him is because I want to say, look, this wasn't working out for me either, and I was concerned that like you were in a different place, but when I saw that, like, it gave me the okay, we're both sort of in the same place. And I'm not trying to like be like, and you, because the last thing I want is for him to be like, oh, he dumped me because I was on Adam for like, no, girl, that just let me know that we were both feeling the same way. Because before this, like, he was giving every sign that he was super duper into me. And you know, that's really awkward when somebody's really into, you know, nobody wants that. And I'm used to being the other side of the coin where I'm really into somebody and they're like, sorry, I'm just not that into you. Bye, drag queen. You know, insert sound of fucking being kicked to the curb here.
Right.
Whatever. But, yeah, so that's been going on for a while. I do have a crush on somebody, but I'm not sure that it's reciprocal. We've gone out a couple times, but I don't know if we've gone out or we were just hanging out. And
girl, I think those were dates.
One of my friends thinks that they were too. He saw us together after the second one. We went and saw a movie together.
This is a whole nother guy, you guys.
Yeah, totally different person who is out of the country at the moment, returning soon. But my friend saw us together after our second date. Well, whatever, our second outing together. We'd gone to a movie. And my friend afterward was like, I think that he's giving the signs that he's into you. Like, I mean, I don't know. But then again, I'm so fucked up about this. Like, so what do you think, Pearl? Like, if somebody, for example, we're connected on Facebook, but we only have a handful, like under 10 mutual friends on Facebook.
That's a good thing.
Right. Well, that's one thing. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but so
me, it's a good thing.
When we were getting ready to go to the movies, he said something like, getting ready to go to the movies, and he tagged me in this thing. That was in the morning, and then that afternoon, we went, after the movie, we went and got yogurt together or whatever, mm-hmm. gelato, and he took a selfie of us and posted it on his Facebook and tagged me, and part of me feels like that is something that...
I'd have to see.
Right, I mean, but the reason especially then what made me think that it was a little more than whatever is because one of his friends immediately commented about, oh, so-and-so is down with the swirl like I am or something like that.
Oh, girl.
and it turned into this whole thing back and forth, and which he ultimately deleted that whole part of the thread, but there was a period of time where he was like playing into it a little bit.
Oh.
And I don't know, like,
well, do you guys flirt when you're on these, whatever they are?
I don't even know what that looks like. Like, I don't even know what flirting looks like. Like,
you are like 48 years old and you don't know what flirting
looks
like.
I'm 44 and I don't. I mean, we were at this sad movie. When he started crying, I like put my hand on his leg. I held his arm for a little while and then like, I mean, it's like, I don't know. Like, that's something I would do with my friends too. You know, the best advice I've gotten about this situation is actually once again from Shigella. And Shigella said, does it matter if you're flirting or not flirting? Does it matter if it's a date or not a date? Go out with him and act how you're acting, like however you're acting.
See
where it goes. And like, that's, I think, ultimately what it's going to be. Like, I definitely know that our initial interaction with one another on my part was very flirtatious. Our initial conversation started out along the lines of, he mentioned that some guy, he was supposed to have a date and some guy stood him up. And I was like, no guy in their right mind would stand you up a date. And that person is just stupid. Then he was like, well, you know, was this a date or a date? I think I've already told this story.
Yeah, you told me that.
So like, was it a date or a date? Like a date or a date in quotes, you guys. And he said, a date. They were like basically going to hook up and the guy ditched him. And then I was like, well, fuck it. Just get a new person to go on a quote date with. Right. Like, it can't be that hard. The guy's gorgeous. And then he said, well, usually if it's a date, not in quotes, I'll invite them out to coffee so we can get to know each other or whatever. And then like 15 minutes later in the conversation, this is on Instant Messenger, by the way. Like 15 minutes later in the conversation, he's like, so do you want to go to coffee sometime? And I was like, is that like referencing the previous thing where you go out on dates, or is that just because we've had a nice conversation and have a lot of mutual interests and you just want to like go out to coffee?
I think that was a date, but I mean, your friend Shigella is right. It doesn't matter.
And you know, the fact is, I will say this, there's so many things, you guys, I am legit clueless. I acknowledge that. Like, when it comes to dating, people have to be either so overt with their come-ons that it's actually a turn-off.
Uh-huh.
Or I'll just fucking miss it. So, anyway. whatever. So, like, at one point, after the time that we went to the movies together, mm-hmm. he was getting ready to go out of the country. Which, he's been out of the country for, like, 10 days. So I said, look, the movie really brought up a lot of, it was super sad and it like touched on some things that really hit home for him. Uh-huh. He's actually older than I am. He is 50. Oh. No, he's 52.
Only by a few years.
8 years. He's 52, 53. So 8 or 9 years, depending. I don't know. Anyway, but girl, let me tell you something. Hot 52 years old, bitch. Hot, honey. So it touched on some issues. And so I said, look, you know, when you're out of the country, this is a great opportunity for you to get away and clear your head. And like, work through all this. And I said, you need to go over there and have yourself like a summer romance or like, you know, vacation fling and like get it out of your system. And he said something like, he just said LOL. And to me, like, it seemed like if that was, if it had been somebody else, like just two guys talking, like there probably would have been a like, yeah, I'm probably going to do that or whatever.
Right.
And he goes, I'll just send you pictures of my vacation. I said, and be sure to send pictures of your fling. I want to see what he looks like. You know, the guys there are so hot. He just sort of like kind of blew it off. You know what I mean? And like,
well, maybe because that's weird for him because he thinks you guys are dating.
Well,
and it almost gives the impression that you don't think that you guys are dating and you almost don't care.
Well, I didn't think, like, I wanted it to come across that way, even though if he had sent me pictures, I'd have been like, no, you fucking Spanish bitch! Get off him!
Right.
But, like, I just want to play this. I want to allow it to be really casual. If he should listen to this, he's obviously going to know exactly who he is because I've told y'all real details about what's going on. If you're listening, I really would like to actually know if it's a date or not. And I would really like it to be a date. But until I know, like I said, I'm fucking clueless. And Shags, once again, has psychoanalyzed me. He's like, the reason that you don't think that he's flirting with you, even if he is because you think he's out of your league. You think he's too hot.
Well.
And Pearl agrees. Pearl's like, yeah, man, she is too hot for you. But, you know, he had said some really nice things. He was, you know, I told him, like, because he said,
you know, some people aren't as shallow as you, Pollo.
That's true. That's very true. I'm like,
at the end of the day,
I don't think I'm that shallow, you guys. I just don't like ugly
that's
people.
Bullshit.
But no, the thing about it is like, Shags is right. You know, like Shags is right. Like I think this guy is kind of out of my league. So the fact that he would actually be flirting with me, like blew my mind. Like his online, he posted something about like, why is it so hard to like find a person who really wants to go on a real date or whatever?
Uh-huh.
And I said to him, like, if you can't get a real date, if somebody like who has everything that you've got going on can't get a date, somebody like me feels really fucking bad about myself because like I'm doomed. And he was like, you're very attractive. You're very handsome. Da, 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 da. And I just thought he was trying to like make me feel better about being ugly or whatever, you know.
Well, you never know, girl. You never know.
I don't know. So, mister, if you are out there and hear this...
Girl, let her know it's a date.
Please, by all means.
Or you could just ask him.
I don't... If you ask somebody and they're like, no, this isn't a date, then all of a sudden it changes the whole dynamics of interaction. And I would rather just take Shags' advice and just go out with him, hang out with him.
Girl, let me run into him one time and I'm just going to ask him, are y'all dating?
Have you gone on a date with him?
And see what he says.
Girl, I really need to, like, I don't want that either, because I don't want this to turn into fucking fourth grade. Like, my friend likes you. Do you like her? Check yes or no.
Girl, this is what you could do. You guys, the next time you guys go to dinner, let me know where it's at. And then I'll stop by in the middle of dinner, and you'd be like, oh, hey, this is my friend so-and-so, and we'll meet. And then you go to the bathroom, and be like, oh, wait, so are you guys on a date? And I'll ask him, and then when you come back... I'm like, okay, gotta go, and I can tell you later.
Oh my god, you guys, that is a setup. I'm taking you up on it.
Yes, girl.
Girl, or like I said, my friend Troy saw. I mean, Troy and this guy know each other because they have met each other many, many times, and I don't know. He's just really nice, and I don't want to like jinx it by like. I would like to continue being his friend regardless, but you know that fucks the dynamic.
How about I would be totally shady and wait for you to come back to ask if you guys are on a date?
Oh my god.
Pollo would turn beet red, girl.
I would.
And she wouldn't know. I could see her like stuttering and just like looking in full 360. Oh girl, that would be so...
It would be good. Horrible. And I'd be like, I'm sorry. My stupid transgender friend has Tourette's. She can't help herself. Usually she just screams out, tits, and leaves. Oh my god.
That would be so amazing.
That reminds me of this time when I was out, like, on a date, This was a bazillion years ago, but I was on a date. It was a Christmas party. It was the Gloss Magazine Christmas party. And it was being held at the Eureka Valley Steakhouse in the Castro.
Uh-huh.
Like, right next to Midnight Sun. And so I was on this date with this guy. And...
At the event.
At the event. Well, we had, like, we were both at the event. And, like, we had gone out before. And it turned out we were both at the event. So we were, like, hanging out and, like, sort of canoodling in the back corner while everybody's doing their thing. And here comes Heklina.
Oh, shit.
Heklina comes up. And she's in... Full fucking everything. She's I'm done sure. up, right?
So she ain't got no shame.
First of all, Heklina has no shame to begin with.
Right.
And Heklina also loves to fucking burst people's bubbles.
Uh huh.
So she comes walking up and she sees us canoodling. Pio! Hi, Pio! And I was like, hi, Heck. This is so and so. And she's like, oh, don't you two look so comfortable here, all laid up on each other. And the guy just starts laughing. And then she's like, well, you're certainly very cute. And he's like, thank you. And she goes, you know, she's a big old drag queen, right?
What a bitch.
And thank God he already knew that.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's not something I hide, but it's also not like... The first thing I want, you know, I kind of want somebody to get to know me a little bit before they...
Well, I mean, you would think that's part of getting to know you, considering that's your career.
Right, but it's like, not necessarily, like, the first date or, like, first encounter conversation.
Really?
I mean, well, most of the time, it's not a secret at all, y'all. It's not a secret at all. But occasionally, depending on if it's just going to be maybe, like, a fucking hookup, like, they don't need to know all my business.
Well, that's true if it's just a hookup, but, I mean, if it's a date...
Well, we were only just fucking... She didn't know. We could have just been met at the party and making out in the corner.
That's true.
She was just there to fucking kill the vibe. She was trying to be a fucking, like, Debbie Boner Downer.
That's funny because every time I see her, I feel like she doesn't know what to say to me.
She probably doesn't. She's not, right. like... She is a very... complicated person in her interactions. Like, I think that she, for the most part, and this is no secret, you guys, I'm not talking behind her back because I've actually had this conversation with her. Like, I think that she mostly interacts with people at the level of being Heklina.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? So, like, the number of people who get beyond the persona are really minimal. So, if there are situations where she doesn't know how to interact with somebody as Heklina, mm-hmm. like, one personality to another, she... quite often doesn't have a lot to say. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not really like a shady thing at all. It's just that like, she's very business minded, very, very, very business minded. So like the vast majority of the world, she interacts with through that way. Like it's either about business or she talks business. Or she recognizes that, like, whether you're a spectator at one of her shows or a performer, that's the business. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's the level she's most comfortable interacting with people on. And, you know, she and I have worked together for many, many years. And I said to her on more than one occasion, like, God, could we, like, actually become friends at some point? You know,
not
like...
going to happen.
It may not, but it's, like, it's just, you know... So, I don't think that it's something awful at all. It's just part of... There's a lot of people I know who, like, don't know how to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Social skills aren't there.
Well, she does not lack social skills. But, like, she may lack, like, I just don't think
genuity.
That... I just don't think that she's comfortable being intimate, sort of, with a very small group of people. So, when she goes into public, and she's been doing this a really long time, so when she goes into public, it's automatically... on, you know, like the moment she walks out of like a intimate setting, she becomes Heklina. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's not how I would want to be personally because that would just wear me out, but you know, like, but anyway. She was still being a bitch because she purposely tried to like fuck that thing up. Leonard McCants, I hope you remember this story. I know you do, girl. I know you do. On our one of three dates or whatever we had.
Well,
he didn't get any either, girl. No putting out with that one either. Sorry, Leonard.
Well, girl. So, when is your next date with Homeboy?
I don't don't know. Like, they're not, we don't even know that the other two have been dates. He doesn't get back from, I want to say, actually, he gets back tomorrow?
Oh, are you excited?
I'm kind of, you know, I like...
You're excited.
I'm a little excited. Yeah, I reached, you know, I didn't want to bug him and blow him up on, like, social media or whatever, like, you know, through Facebook while he was gone. But I did go on a liking spree of all his pictures last night.
Oh, girl.
And I did send him a message, like, I'm not stalking you. I'm just like, you know, I haven't been on here and I wanted to see what all your adventures are over there. So, and then...
You know the rule is you can only like the most two recent pictures or something like that.
Well, I mean,
unless it was all posted in the same day.
Well, first of all, he posts a lot, but it was, you know, it was all of, you know, I'd liked part of his photos from his travels, and then I hadn't been on Facebook for like a number of days, really. So when I went back on, I went to his thing and I liked blah 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 blah.
Uh huh.
And then I did leave one emoji of the blushing smiley face on the photo of us again. Oh God, I'm a, like, y'all, I'm 44, but like
she's
a 12,
like 14,
like 12,
right?
Not even 14.
Well, that's cute.
Oh my God. So what about
it's
you?
It's nice to have those things, you know.
Y'all, Pearl is dating up a storm. Every time she comes here, she's fucking going on a date afterwards.
Right. I mean, you know, the dating scene is fun, but I'm mostly dating because, because I'm interested in dating, but also because it's now that I'm comfortable, like, for the most part, in my skin.
Uh-huh.
It's just, it's fun and interesting to feel and watch myself interact on these dates as a woman now. And, it's a completely different experience. Completely different experience. Even though I was very, like, androgynous-ish before.
Yeah.
Still, you know, now it's not, you know, it's just not the same.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not. Like, first of all...
The men are completely different, and ever since I got boobs, the men have become a lot more attractive, but that doesn't mean they're any better, because then you have to deal with other things, like their egos. Anyway.
Right. Well, you know, you guys, you know, I write for the Huffington Post, Queer Voices, and the top story, and this is like, Pearl hasn't read this and I haven't told her about it, but I noticed it earlier today. The top story on the Queer Voices, at least this morning, I'm trying to pull it up, was my experiences as a straight cis man engaged to a straight trans woman.
Oh, wow. Look at men coming out, finally.
So I thought, like, I thought of you when I saw that, and I thought you might be interested in, like, reading that at some point.
Yeah, there's this new guy on YouTube, actually, who's a cis man, and he's got so many viewers because he's, like, the only cis man on YouTube talking, like, who's openly willing to talk about him.
Dating trans women?
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting to see that movement, like, finally taking a step forward. I thought that I would be, like, old and undateable by the time...
Close.
You know. Listen, bitch.
See, taste of her own fucking medicine.
Whatever. But dating's been interesting. It's been fun. But, girl, the weeding out process is so much more than what it used to be.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, that's what happens when you start to have options. You have to weed shit out.
I had options before, too, bitch.
Yeah, but those two profiles that you
had
to research...
Shut up, bitch.
Like...
Whatever.
So, other trans-related news, you guys. These are just headlines from Queer Voices. Pentagon delays transgender recruitment for the military by 6 months. That's been pushed back. Did you guys... This is not trans-related, but did you guys read about Jay-Z's mom coming out as a lesbian in the new duet?
Yes, yes. I heard about that.
And so that's big news right now. Like,
and I hear rumors that they named the twins Sean, which is his name, and B.
Lord.
That.
So, other queer headlines of interest. The LGBTQ favorite Sense8, which is filmed here in San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
What was in fact canceled, but They are reviving it to film a 2-hour farewell episode.
Oh, thank God.
So you'll actually get some closure, fans of that show.
Thank God.
Yes, so that's a big one. This one is really, really very sad. Transgender teen killed in Georgia. She is the 14th reported trans murder victim of 2017. She was from Athens, Georgia, and God, the poor. She was only 17 years old. Poor fucking baby. That is horrible. Let's see. Oh, have you guys listened to that new bisexual duet or bisexual duet between Halsey and one of the girls, the girl who's bisexual? Strangers.
Yeah, I heard it before it came out because I pre-ordered her album.
Yeah, I like it.
And yeah, it's actually one of the better songs on her entire album.
Yeah, I'm hoping that'll take off. It's with, I don't remember the name of the girl.
So does she identify as bisexual?
Halsey?
Yeah.
Always.
Huh.
Always, from Go. And the girl, I can't remember her name. She's part of Fifth Harmony.
Camila?
No, not Camila. Like, Camila's off on her own now. This chick is still part of Fifth Harmony.
Which one is it?
Lauren?
Lauren.
What's Lauren's last name? Do you remember? I think that it's Lauren, is the girl that she sings with. So that's, you guys go check that out. It's called Strangers. It's good. And apparently.
Oh, wait, that's the girl from Fifth Harmony that's singing in that song with her?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And does she identify as bisexual also?
Yes.
What?
Yes, girl.
Blew my mind.
So, yes, absolutely. And according to Halsey.
They're dating?
No. But originally, the record company wanted Katy Perry to record the other half of that song.
That would be so ridiculous.
Well, let's see. Let's see why she says. Halsey says that she teamed up with Fifth Harmony's Lauren Jaragui or whatever, an ode to a fractured relationship between women. So it's been called revolutionary and long overdue. The critical response has been a bit different, according to this. Blah, 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 blah. She says the label was like, what about Katy Perry? I was like, I'm not putting an artist on this song unless they're fucking gay.
I heard that.
Boom, bitch. She added that she has very specific guidelines on how she'd like the music video to appear. It's not going to be me and Lauren half naked in a bed making out with each other, which is exactly what everybody fucking wants, she said. Right. Halsey crossed paths with Katy Perry, 32, at the Women's March in Washington, D.C. in January. Though the two stars were reportedly friendly, Halsey appeared to take another swipe at Perry in the June 19th Paper Magazine interview, discussing the fact that many songs that referenced queer experiences were performed by straight female artists. The singer-songwriter quoted the lyrics to Perry's I Kissed a Girl and argued that the song promoted the idea of bisexuality as a taboo. That's something I've had to fight my whole life and something I still fight, Halsey, who also seemed to be calling out Demi Lovato's Cool for the Summer, in the interview said. There's biphobia from the straight community and from the LGBT community. There's a lack of acceptance. Meanwhile, you guys...
I'm through calling them out for cultural appropriation.
Meanwhile, Demi Lovato has already struck back saying bitching about something. I don't know what. So, I wish I could find that headline, too. I'm just scrolling through the Queer Voices, you guys, trying to tell you the top... Oh, Demi Lovato claps back at Halsey over shade about bisexuality. Headline on Queer Voices by Curtis M. Wong. Curtis is one of the editors of Huffington Post, you guys. In the ever-dramatic world of pop diva wars, this one's a doozy. It began on June 19th when Halsey opened about the struggles of being an openly bisexual artist, talking about, you know, what we just said about Demi Lovato. She said that pop music can often be really ostracizing. It's really a shame that it's so hard for marginalized or minority people to get the same pop music experience as people who are heterosexual or are generally part of the majority. They deserve the same pop music experience, Halsey said. She said, so Halsey goes on to tell Paper Magazine that bisexuality is seen as a taboo or something we shouldn't do, as in don't tell your mom.
Right.
But the 22-year-old singer-songwriter didn't stop there, calling the narrative relayed in these types of songs so fucking damaging to bisexuality and its place in society. Apparently, that didn't take too long for Demi Lovato, 24, to catch wind of Halsey's remark. On June 23rd, the singer-actress, who has shied away from labeling her sexuality one way or another and won a GLAAD Vanguard Award last year for her support of the LGBTQ community, appeared to fire back with a simply worded tweet. You know a song is a hit when people are still talking about the lyrics 2 years later. Shh, don't tell your mother. Of course, Lovato could have been referencing something entirely different, but we're still willing to bet that Cherry Chapstick she wasn't. But, girl. Well, the song was a hit. I fucking perform that song all the time. I love it, but I definitely agree that, you know, it's like...
Yeah.
It'd be like saying something like, you know, I'm going to date a black guy to piss off my mom.
Right, or because it's cool now, everyone's doing it.
Like the time that we had that one actress on and she said that it's kind of trendy.
Like she's doing LGBT topics because it's trendy.
Trendy.
No, or what did she say? She said it's edgy.
Edgy, right. Yeah. She used the word edgy. And we're not going to name that because we don't want to be disrespectful necessarily overtly to our guests. But girl, when she said that, Pearl's vagina just snapped shut right on that interview, and she was done. Did,
girl, I was like, "Poyo."
Oh, girl, she gave me the side eye. I knew exactly what she was thinking, whatever. But bitch, she sure did. It was all edgy and shit. So you do your lesbian theme because it's edgy,
right?
Ooh, awkward.
You're right.
Oh my god. Anyway, okay, you guys, we've been talking literally for an entire hour straight. We're gonna take another break. Be sure, before we come back, be sure, go check out our sponsors over at...
Left Magazine at liveleft.com.
Yeah, girl, get all the happenings on San Francisco Bay Area's LGBTQ nightlife and entertainment at liveleft.com.
Don't forget to check out guidetogay.com.
Yes, honey, get guidetogay.com. bitch, I am fucking tongue-tied. Get on over to guidetogay.com to find out all of the events and happenings in the LGBTQ world in Australia. But since it's the season of Pride, they also have coverage of Pride festivals around the world. So go check them out at guidetogay.com.
Yes, ma'am. And if you're in San Francisco, go on over to 19th and Castro to get your hair cut at Daddy's Barbershop.
We love Arlen and Jesse and all the men and women at Daddy's Barbershop. Thank you for being such proud sponsors of Party Foul Radio. And congratulations once again on being voted San Francisco's best barbershop in the 2017 San Francisco Bestie Awards. So congrats to Daddy's Barbershop. Go check them out and you will surely get the haircut of the summer.
Right. And lastly, as we talked about for 15 minutes earlier, don't forget to get your lubricants from Swiss Navy Lube and shoot us a message with code word BLEW.
BLEW.
And you can get...
registered to win. The first three people to send us over that code word are going to get a Swiss Navy prize package. That's through our Facebook page. You guys go like us at Party Foul Radio on Facebook.
And as well as following us on Twitter at Party Foul Radio.
Bitch, you better follow. All right, you guys, we'll be back in a minute with more Party Foul Radio.
Hey, y'all. This is Bob the Drag Queen. You are listening to Party Foul Radio with Tony Del Mar and Pearl. Listen up, girl.
All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm excited to have with us at this time an interview with one of my buddies from my trip last fall to Taiwan. He and his current husband, Luke, are YouTube sensations who have over 120-some thousand followers who have followed the last 4 years of their relationship. They first became well-known when they became married and started doing a series on YouTube about gay husbands. But since then, Vinny has branched off doing things about his travels around the world and has become a true LGBT online influencer. You can follow him on Twitter at V2. Please welcome to Party Foul Radio, my drag child, Vinny Valancourt, everybody. Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good.
You look good.
Thank you. I got that summer glow happening.
Yeah, you do. You really do. How are things with you?
Oh, girl. Don't even ask. That's a loaded question.
Right. Well, remember, we're on the air, so don't unload anything you don't want unloaded for people to hear.
I'm good. Let's just say life is transitioning right now. I'm kind of... you know, ebb and flow with real world versus ambitions.
Cool. So for the listeners out there, Vinny and I met when we were on our famous trip, and famous, I mean, I talk about it incessantly, trip to Taiwan last fall. And Vinny, of course, has a massive YouTube following. And I wondered how you got into the YouTube world.
Okay. By accident? It was a happy accident.
Yeah.
So... I, like any good millennial, posted photos online after I got married to social media, and they went kind of mini-viral. So people started asking questions and were really interested in my, well, current husband's story. And so someone suggested you should make a YouTube channel. So we made one video, which was like a husband tag, and a larger, more well-known, who we actually attended their wedding, which is really cute, how things kind of happen full circle. But we were put up on their website because they were engaged and they weren't married yet. And we kind of immediately had some sort of conversation online, and it kind of just progressed from there. But I moved to the UK, I was in a new country, and I just kind of wanted to make friends.
Right.
So that's really why I pursued it. And most of my dearest, dearest friends now are YouTubers. So that kind of worked out really perfectly for me.
Yeah, you on YouTube, you share a lot of your intimate life, you know, like your marriage, your travels. How is that for you, having people know so much about you?
It's kind of challenging. I think sometimes you go into a situation where someone knows like 90% about you and you know nothing about them.
Right.
Which is kind of comforting because you don't have to kind of do small talk and you can kind of go to the nitty gritty. But it's also, it can be kind of intimidating because I forget. I mean, I have like 300 videos online. Like I've been doing this for 4 years and I forget what I've said because some things are just passionately in the moment. Whereas like other things are kind of more crafted, but there are challenges and obstacles. The power of editing is always a best friend of an online influencer because you, at the end of the, you do choose what you share with your intended audience. So you, as long as you don't lose sight of that, I think you'll be okay. But I personally, I really like it.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when we were in Taiwan at the parade over there, we went for the LGBT Pride Parade in Taiwan in 2016, listeners. And there were people like legit running up to you in the parade, which... You guys were really like, oh, look, we've got followers around the world. Very smarmy, you guys, but he's quite lovable in person. So don't let my portray him any differently than
really. It's just boyo goodness right there.
Exactly. So how is that, though? I mean, I get flipped out when I go on Grindr and people are like, oh, my God. You know, but you're like in freaking Taiwan.
Yeah, I mean, it's humbling, I think. And it's a really nice perspective of how much of an influence you can have on someone's life. And for my case, I hope that it's a positive influence because that's kind of what the channel is about. I look at it as a documentary where I can look back in like 20 years and kind of see what I've done. I've been to Taiwan, you know, like an amazing thing like that. And to kind of have that intimate connection with someone where I am like in their living room on their TV or at a bus stop when... You know, someone says, like, you were my chemo, like, friend when I was, like, going through that. And, I mean, it's such a really intimate setting to kind of be on. And that see it in person always trips me out. And it's just a nice reminder of why I started to begin with, to make friends. And that's what I'm doing.
So how much of what your life is taking on now are you sharing?
Not a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I was like... So, you guys, I know things that you don't know, and that's fine, but I mean, I didn't want to, like, step on toes, so...
I love Poyo, and Poyo is my drag god mom, you know, whatever, fairy godmother, drag mom. Well, power of editing, and like I said, I've been doing this for, like, 3 to 4 years, and life changes, and my life has changed drastically, and I'm kind of rebranding, reassessing. I actually have a day job, which is horrendous. So
wow.
Working 4 hour weeks. I'm a horticultural assistant. So I'm a gardener. That's why I look so tan.
Oh, okay. Come on, a horticultural assistant.
Yeah, well, you know me and the flowers, right? Like, I was freaking out in Taiwan with flowers and stuff.
Yeah, you were, actually.
I'm still trying to figure it out, you know, as most people in life. But I am storming a comeback, we'll say. And I'm gearing up, and I miss the community that I kind of found online and the connect creative outlet. And that's what I really crave. And I really thrive in that type of environment.
You had mentioned to me when we were in Taiwan, how you guys, cause we were there with Mikey, the platypus. I can't believe I really have to say that about Mikey. The platypus is another YouTube celebrity, an online sensation. And you guys both talked about how your channels are you have sponsorships and you have like management people who do all of this stuff. And for people out there who are aspiring to be YouTubers or are just intrigued by that world, tell us a little bit about what that's like.
So I'm really self-taught. I know that Mikey the Platypus, who's in Madrid right now, or Barcelona or something. So hi, Mike, if you ever hear this. He, I think, more aligned sign with a particular type of management, and they deal with all his shows. He was just on, like, the red carpet for Canada, something or another media. I'm just my own manager. I kind of was thrown in the deep end and kind of picked up things as and when they kind of came about. But there are websites that are geared toward online influencers where brands and sponsorships will kind of just have an open forum where they say, this is what we want, this is our expectation, give a pitch. So it's kind of like sales-oriented with that. So that isn't necessarily cold sales, but you can cold sale yourself. So if you like Lush products, you know, you can just go and go to a local store or a local business and kind of say, hey, this is what I can offer. But it's a lot of, I always say it's sales and customer service related. You need to have a niche. You need to know your audience. You need to know what they like, because if you come across inauthentic, it's not going to go over well. And I never want to be honest to my audience or my subscribers, because that's not who I am personally. I don't sign up for that, and I don't want them to feel like I pulled the rug out from underneath them. So you know your audience, know yourself as a content creator, and find your niche and work with brands that kind of support that.
Yeah, I definitely think, I mean, even here on our podcast, we have a handful of supporters that we've kind of negotiated different agreements with, and you know, I'm sure that there are people who would be interested, but if I can't actually say legitimately that I like the product or it's something that I would personally use, it's just a no-go. Because ultimately, as an online influencer of any capacity, your reputation's at what's at stake. You know what I mean? And I don't want to do that to myself or our listeners.
Yeah, there's like a certain level of responsibility almost, like not only to your audience, but to yourself. Like, who do you want to be?
Right.
We all know online can be edited and fluffed in a capacity, but I think YouTube, the original message was broadcast yourself. So that's what I'm still trying to do. I'm still trying to broadcast myself. I mean, yeah, like I laugh a little bit more and I'm a little more of a hyperbole because no one wants to watch a Debbie Downer most days.
Right.
But it's still me. It's still Vinny.
Where are you at your house?
Yes.
Your house looks so nice. We're FaceTiming you guys. Your house looks so nice.
Thank you. I actually left work early because I could not be bothered with this 91 degrees heat. So I came home. That's the wall that I film in front of. And
oh, wow. Your place is really... You guys, he's got this whole nice setup. And I occasionally will film a video in front of a unironed sheet that's duct taped to the ceiling. Yes, that's the difference. That's why he's got like 150,000 subscribers on YouTube. And I've got like my sister. My mom. So... So I'm going to tell a story that nobody knows. So So we were in Taiwan, and okay, so this is, you guys, the interesting thing about this is that we're in Taiwan, and as I've already told you, we're on the streets and all these people are coming up like, oh, it's Mikey the Platypus. Oh, it's V squared. Blah, blah, blah. You know, V to the power of 2. Oh God, you guys. And then of all things, I post on Facebook that I'm there, and every drag queen in Taiwan, like legit, every drag queen in Taiwan is like, oh my God, we learned to do your makeup watching your videos or whatever on YouTube. So we get invited to, I mean, I want to say a party, but basically they just put together a little gathering at one of the local bars. And so the whole crew of us decide we're going to go out. And Magnolia La Manga, who is one of their most well-known drag queens in all of Taiwan, is very outspoken, we'll say. And that's not a secret to Mags. It's not a secret to anybody who's ever met her. Well, after about two cocktails, Vinny is also exceedingly outspoken. And so then all of a sudden, I'm just like holding court with all these drag queens at one end of the table. And then I hear from the opposite end of the table an eruption of loud voices, and Vinny and Mags have totally gotten into it. And I would ask Vinny what it was about, but I don't think you even remember. Like,
I somewhat remember. I think Mags' best friend was sitting, and her and I happily disagreed. And it wasn't like, I thought it was volatile. just had differences in opinion.
Oh my god, he's cutting in and out, and this is such a good story. So.
Oh no! Should I start over?
Yeah.
Okay. Here, let me stand up. Is this better?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. So Magnolia's friend was visiting from the UK, and her and I passionately disagreed about something. It wasn't volatile. It was just that we, you know, we disagreed, and we were passionate about opposing ideas. And I think, you know, this is like four margaritas in, and Taiwan poured really nice drinks.
Yeah. I don't know, you guys, because I don't drink, but they knew.
Yeah.
And I could tell.
And I think that Magnolia perceived that I was disrespecting her friend, which is fine, because I, you know, I let my friend ride or die, so I would have been protective as well. But I think in this particular circumstance, toes were stepped upon, and that's what I'll say.
All I heard was, like, Vinny being like, you're being condescending just because I'm young. And she was like, you are young. And I was like, okay, you guys, this is a grand time for everybody to step aside. Like, let's...
God.
I was like, Vinny, let's go, let's go. He's like, no, no, you don't have to do that. I was like, just come with me. Just trust me on this one.
I wouldn't have gotten home that night if it wasn't for you.
It was... Luckily, everything got ironed out, you guys. After cooler heads prevailed, everything turned out fine. But it was one of the highlights of our trip, that's for sure.
That's the last time I've gotten in a fight with a drag queen, so I've been sober ever since from that.
He's been good since then. His drag mother has him on a no fighting with drag queens ban.
Absolutely, and I need to make a trip out to San Fran to prove my honor.
Yes, exactly. That would be amazing.
The House of Pollo.
So you get to travel quite often, it seems like, for your YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's It was kind of like a really nice period where I dedicated my channel, my content, to just exploring. I mean, I traveled the U.S. quite extensively, and then Taiwan. I actually was in Japan in March.
I know. You told me. I was so jealous.
I know. It was beautiful. You need to go. Tokyo was amazing. So, I mean, I guess like any millennial and most people, we just like to travel and see the world and learn from experiences and meeting new people. In Tokyo, I actually just did all youth hostels, and I met amazing people, and every day was just an adventure. So, yeah, very privileged, very blessed to kind of have this life, and I always try to, you know, give it back in a capacity. Like, remember, were you there when I gave my walkway?
Yeah, I do remember you giving it to somebody when we were in Tokyo.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, there was a subscriber that I met in Taiwan who followed my channel for eons and eons, and he had a really nice watch on, and I like watches, and we did a sponsorship from a particular really nice watch company, and I essentially just gave him the watch, and he was like really stunned, but I said, I wouldn't have had this watch if it wasn't for people like you who stuck with me all throughout these years.
Mm-hmm.
I try to pay it forward as much as I can. We try to do charity things. You know, we raised money one year for, like, a homeless shelter in New York City. So, for LGBT youth and type of thing. And obviously, that's, I think, one of the reasons why I fell in love with you, because we collected all the toiletries.
Yeah.
And we gave you. So, I think the level of responsibility for, in specifics, to be an online influencer and traveling and all that is just trying to be humble, pay it forward whenever you can.
Yeah, it's funny because we actually talked about that toiletries drive for the homeless on this earlier in this episode, where I said, you don't have to change the entire world, but like something simple like that. I said to you guys, look, we're staying in these amazing hotels. They've got all these toiletries. Yeah. Just collect them. And I brought back an entire bag full of stuff that went to people directly to the homeless here in San Francisco. So...
And the thing is, I would have never thought of that.
Yeah, I mean, I tell all my flight attendant friends, like, several months in advance, I'm like, start collecting this stuff, because I know you guys get it. You know, it's stuff that they're not even going to use. Most of the time, you stay in a hotel, and you're like, I'm not going to use this conditioner or this lotion or whatever. I just tell them, throw it in a bag, and I'll make sure it gets to the homeless.
That's so awesome.
So, what do you suggest to people? How should they stay in touch with you? And, like, what is your next big thing?
My channel is kind of in hiatus, but you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram, and it's V to the power of two. So it's VTO, the power of, and the number two, or just type in Vinny and Luke in Google, and I should pop up.
Well, I look forward to seeing what you bring back on your channel and the rebirth.
Thanks.
The phoenix rising from her ashes.
Yes, like Conchita.
Yes. Well, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it, babe.
For all your listeners out there, I love Pollo, and Pollo is the real deal. Like, instantly fell in love, and I can't wait to see you again.
Yeah, I had told this one person on Twitter just this morning. She just subscribed to the podcast. Her name is Joy. And I said, this most recent episode is like pretty candid to the point of possibly disturbing. And then I thought to myself, that is really how I live my life. Like, I know that you guys were shocked when you first met me because I was like, you guys are all like so demure. And then I'm like saying whatever. And by the end, everybody was just letting loose. It was like,
oh, absolutely. The poor tour guide.
Yeah, the poor everyone around us. And that, and what was his name? Oh, doesn't matter what his name was. The sad sack from here in San Francisco. Poor thing.
Oh, God.
Terrible. Terrible travel companion.
Yeah, terrible. But, I mean, we're one big happy family now. And that's kind of what the LGBT thing's about, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
One big dysfunctional family.
Absolutely. All right, sweetheart. Thank you for joining us.
I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah, kisses.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, you guys, that's Vinny Valancourt. You can check out his YouTube channel. Just look up Vinny and Luke. That's V-I-N-N-Y and Luke on YouTube. Follow him at V to the power of two. This is Poet Almar. You're listening to Party Foul Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Hallelujah, this is Shangela, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio with Polio and Pearl, honey. Hallelujah.
Clock the bag.
Clock the bag.
Clock the shoe.
Clock the shoe.
Now punch the clock. It's time to work.
Okay, you guys, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Almar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
And I ran upstairs. Pearl was like, girl, go get an extension cord. You can watch your TV if you got an extension cord. So I went upstairs and bothered my neighbors. First of all, I want to tell you guys something. This is kind of hilarious. So my upstairs neighbor is 71. She smokes pot.
Is she really?
Yeah. She smokes, but you wouldn't know it. I think that she
for
looks
a white
like,
woman, she looks really good.
She girl. Does, girl. Pearl's like, for a white woman, but it's true. She like, she's.
Girl, like, she you does. Don't expect them to age like that because my coworker is. I have a coworker who's 72, 73, and she's got white hair. Girl, she's a little bit hunched over. She's got two brace things on her knees.
Yeah, I mean.
And this woman is like a fucking spring chicken.
Comparatively speaking, yes. But, so, a while back, I had done this performance at Tranny Shack, back when it was still Tranny Shack, at DNA Lounge. And it was Kylie Minogue night, and the performance was called The Sexorcist.
Oh, my God.
It was a spoof of The Exorcist. Where I had a possessed vagina. And priests had to come in and sexorcise my demon vagina. So the my demon vagina is by the name is her name is Vagina Gershon. And anyway, so as part of this, like there were some ridiculous props that one would imagine going along with a sexorcism, one of which was a 5-gallon bucket that had on the side of it Vagisil. Written on the side of it, Vagisil, in huge red letters. And during the performance, priests were dipping paint rollers, like, you know, those fuzzy paint rollers that were made to look like tampons. They took them out of a big, giant, oversized tampon thing, and they would dip them in the Vagisil and throw them at the vagina. So, anyway, so I put the 5-gallon bucket in the backyard, and my upstairs neighbor decided she needed to use the bucket or whatever. So I went upstairs to knock on her door, and her through her kitchen window, I saw this fucking 5-gallon bucket that says Vagisil.
Oh, my God.
Sitting in her kitchen.
Holy shit. Does she? I'm sure she's got to know.
Of course she knows. You can tell that she tried to scrub that shit off, too, but you can still see it very clearly written. Anyway, I ran up there because my best friend, Shigella, who we've talked about incessantly this episode, had sent me some package, and she's been bitching at me, like, have you got the package yet? So I ran upstairs to get the package.
Here.
And I don't...
Oh.
Oh, my God. What in the hell did she...
New pajama pants. Finally, girl. I'm sick of seeing you in the same way.
Girl, these are hideous.
Those are cute.
They are?
Yeah.
They look like something my grandmother would wear.
They all of your sweats look like something somebody's grandma would wear.
I hope they... Oh, my God. Do these have, like...
They're really cute.
And they have a low-hanging crotch.
Oh, girl.
I love that. Hold on. I'm going to put them on over these other pajamas. Oh, fuck it. Hold on, you guys. I'm taking off my pants here for Pearl.
This is the front, bitch.
These are hideous.
They're cute.
I kind of love them, though. Please tell me they have a fucking hanging crotch. Shut up!
And they have pockets.
Okay, I officially love these pants now. They're horrible, you guys. They're hideous. But They totally have, what's that called? A drop crotch? An elastic around the...
What is bitch, the obsession like, over drop crotch?
I'm like MC Hammer up in here, bitch. You can't touch this.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
She's in here trying to do the hammer dance. Girl, sit down. They look comfortable as hell.
I fucking love them. God, they're hideous.
They're so cute.
You hear me, like, God, these are hideous, but it ain't gonna stop me from wearing them, right, bitch. Exactly. And I got a purple t-shirt to go with it. I'm gonna look like a fucking grape ape whore.
I don't know if I would do all that, girl. That's
no, a maybe a black t-shirt.
Or a white, whichever, girl.
Like, this goes with it nicely. Like, it's kind of...
There's no blue on that.
Meanwhile, I'm wearing a Heclina t-shirt after all right. the conversation. Anyway, thanks, Shags. Oh, my God. She got me these hideous pants because of the fact that I bought her a hideous pair of shorts recently that were like nothing but cats.
Oh, my God.
And I think there's no letter in this.
No.
No message in it. Fucking twat. So anyway. All right, you guys. We are going to wrap up this episode.
Yeah, girl. What do you have going on for the 4th of July? Let alone this weekend.
No plans for 4th of July. And this weekend, hopefully, I was back at Diva Royale. Diva Royale and Hunkamania relaunched. Well, Hunkamania has been ongoing, but because of Gay Pride and other things that have been happening in the month of June, I was not with Diva Royale over the course of June. So this past weekend, one of your sisters, Tiny T's, my drag mother, Landa Lakes, and I did a return to Diva Royale. It was super fun. I had a really good time. Hopefully, I will be back with them this weekend. And, of course, the Glamazon is on Sunday. Please come out and see us. I'm hoping to take some other fun booking opportunities really soon, and I'll let you guys know. When we come back next week, too, Pearl is going to give us an update on that skincare product that I gave her.
Right.
Just shake it well, I gave you the little mister bottle. You can mist it, and then just rub it gently on your face in the morning, and then, like, after you shower, rub it on, and give it a second, and then put your makeup on over it. And then, again, at night before you go to bed. It moisturizes in the night, and it'll keep off all your insects.
I don't have insects, but okay, sounds good.
You definitely will not have insects after you use my fabulous product, bitch. Sure. If it all works out, you guys, I'm going to have to come up with a fun name. Maybe tweet me some fun name options. You can tweet me personally at TheGlamazonPDM, or you can tweet us at PartyFoul Radio.
And yeah.
Give me some suggestions for my product name.
Whichever one, girl.
What about your weekend? What's your weekend look like, girl?
I am shooting for this independent film that I'm going to be part of.
Ooh, yes.
It's called... I don't know if I'm allowed to say what it's called or anything like that yet, but we're working on it this weekend. I'll tell you guys more about it as the shooting progresses, but it's going to be a fun project.
It's called Shucking Pearl's Oyster. That's the name of it.
Bitch.
It's a porn.
No, it's not, bitch.
She's going to be doing transgender porn, bitches.
It is something that kind of like talks about trans issues and trans women.
Well, I would imagine.
Dying and stuff, you know.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. Okay.
Yep.
When are you shooting that?
That is sometime this weekend. They had me save two dates, but it turns out we're only going to use one date. I just got to figure out which date it is.
Which date? Do you want to do my show on Sunday?
If I'm free, I'll let you know.
Okay, well, I want to put together a flyer.
Okay.
Cyani's in. Will you be free by 9:45 on Sunday?
I'll let you know by tomorrow.
Okay, bitch. Anyway, you guys, that's what's going on for us this weekend. Thank you once again for making us Podomatic's number one LGBT podcast. We had 600 listeners yesterday, girl.
Come through, 600 listeners.
It's because our interview with Tiffany in episode 72, if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to former teen idol Tiffany on episode 72. It's now on the Huffington Post Queer Voices. You can go check that out. And yeah, show some love to that. Show some love to us. Remember, once again, for your opportunity to win some Swiss Navy premium lubricants, go over to our Facebook page at Party Foul Radio.
Like it.
Like it and send us a message saying the code word is blue, BLEW. Of course, follow us on Twitter too at Party Foul Radio. Until next week, girl. You know what? I don't think you said I live one time this whole
time. I did say it.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, bitch. Girl, my favorite is... Like, my favorite, like, you guys know, once again, going back to Shag, Shagella sends me all these ridiculous voice messages, like, poking fun at Pearl.
And I love it.
And the one we ended last episode with was her poking fun at not only Pearl, but Sister Roma as well. Right. She said, "My name is Pearl Cheese, and every time I say I live, you better donate $15 to Chechnya, bitch." Remember when Roma said Chechnya like 10 times? It's Chechnya, y'all. It's Chechnya.
Chechnya.
Oh, anyway. Wow. This has been episode 73 of Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
Thanks for joining us.
Bye.